Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor, wife, mother of two, and even president of our local Toastmasters speaking club. Jessica Labby, our co-host, just told me one of her talents. She makes custom hair jewelry. Mike Clark, our producer, plays bass guitar, drums, and piano. But for today, he's going to listen in and give us his two cents of reason. All in all, this is one interesting bunch. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Hi, everybody. We're here in the studio with Jessica and Mike. Jessica, I have a question for you. Have you read the book Omnivore's Dilemma?
I haven't, but it's on my list.
Do you know anything about it? It's really cool.
A little bit.
It's by this guy, Michael Pollan, and it ended up being a really popular book. It was actually named one of the top 10 books of the year by the New York Times and the Washington Post, and he just talks about the importance of food. And then he went on to publish a book called In Defense of Food. It was a number one New York Times bestseller, and that book had a lot of science in it. And it was very well received, talking about the importance of eating real food. And then what he did, which I think is really cool, is he came out with a smaller book, I have it here, called Food Rules, an Eater's Manual. And it's by Michael Pollan. And what he does in this book is he summarizes basically what he's written in the other books and makes it really simple for anyone to read. So this podcast today is actually going to be part one of reviewing this book and talking about Michael Pollan's ideas, which
I know my wife has read all those.
She has,
so
actually.
So I do know something about them.
Yeah, she and I talked about Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah. She loved that book.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
And one thing that's interesting, he starts off with talking about how he doesn't use the word fat. He's actually very, you know, he's a journalist. So he wrote for many years for the New York Times Magazine. So he's very eloquent. So he calls it, you know, the nation's expanding waistlines. But basically,
sounds like fat to me.
Yeah, he's talking about how fat people are. And he makes the point, which I've said many times before, it's not that we don't have enough to eat, but yet we're nutrient deficient. So we have all this weight on us, but yet we actually don't get enough nutrients. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
We're basically overfed and undernourished.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, obvious.
Yeah, and we see that in the office. You know, especially kids come in, they have plenty of weight on them, but they're not getting the key nutrients that they need. And really, it comes down to the poor nutritional quality of our food. There's a lot of calories, but there's not a lot of nutrition. And it's interesting because he talks about how eating has just gotten so complicated. You know, you think about it.
They're shouting all these terms at you.
Yeah. And you think about, you know, who are the experts? So we have doctors and we have diet books. And you know, I'm sure you've all picked up a magazine, even like, say, an exercise magazine, and it talks about nutrition. But there's a lot of biochemistry in it.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You know, and you think about it, like our great-grandparents, they didn't know the words that we know. We're actually all very smart with biochemistry. We know words like antioxidant and saturated fat and omega-3 fatty acids and carbohydrates, polyphenols, folic acid, gluten, probiotics. Those are biochemistry words.
I don't want to eat any of that stuff.
There's a lot of nutritional science going on, and the average person knows a lot. But interestingly, we're not healthier for having known all of this.
No, because if you look around you, you see people eating the bad stuff anyway and then complaining that they're sick all of the time.
Yeah. And what's happening is we're no longer even seeing foods. We're seeing nutrients. You know, think about this. If you pick up your latest issue, any magazine in the grocery store, it's going to have articles about a nutrient. Meaning, maybe there's an article about the importance of calcium, or an article about the importance of antioxidants.
Right, and then the marketing guys get a hold of that phrase and they push their food products using that.
And not that calcium and antioxidants aren't important, but we've broken it down to this fact science that has to do with nutrients, and we've forgotten just eat whole food, just eat food, not processed biochemical mumbo jumbo, but
well,
food.
Like if you look at a carrot, for instance, they talk about the vitamin A and how great it is for you, and but if you take all of the compounds in the carrot with the vitamin A, mm-hmm. it's so much healthier for you than isolating that vitamin.
Right. So we study it and we think, oh, so the key to health is to take a vitamin A supplement versus just eating the carrot. Yeah, that's right. And one thing that I really like about what Pollan says is he makes a very interesting point that the more he studies and the more educated he gets, and I would agree with this, the simpler the answer gets to the question, what should I eat?
Mm-hmm.
We've made it so complicated because that's what science does, right? It makes things more broken down, more complicated, and we lose big picture.
Right. It's supposed to make it easier, but it doesn't.
Right. It makes it harder.
Yeah.
And another point that he makes that I agree with is that who we rely on for experts, even medical doctors, nurses, medical nutritionists in general, know much less than you would expect. Unfortunately. And so, and even think about the experts, the government's food pyramid.
Don't get me started on that, please.
Well, and a lot of it comes down to not so much what really is best. It's probably comes down to money. There's been accounts.
Business.
John Robbins in The Food Revolution talks about how the dairy industry bought their way into the food pyramid as one of the four food groups.
Of course.
I remember.
It's a lot of money at stake there.
I remember taking a nutrition class, and it was around the time where they had developed the new food pyramid. And I'm thinking to myself, why are there donuts in the food pyramid? They shouldn't be there.
Oh my, you're right. There was donuts when we were little.
No, now?
I mean, I don't remember what the old one was like, but there is a place in the pyramid for junk food.
You're right. Well, there are two facts, though, that aren't disputable. Basically, all sides of the nutrition argument, everyone agrees with two facts. So we're going to start there. The first one is that this so-called Western diet, that's what they call basically what Americans eat, has a lot of processed foods, meats, added fats and sugars, refined grains, lots of everything except vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. And the Western diet is what's linked with, and many people would say causes, the Western diseases, which are obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer.
And most people around the world are laughing at us.
Well, and you're right, because the second fact is that other populations with very varied diets don't have the same level of typical Western diseases that we have, even if their diets are completely far off of what our nutritional science has taught us. Here's an example. The Inuit in Greenland, do you know what they subsist mainly on? The largest thing that they eat?
What?
Seal blubber.
Yum.
And how healthy are these people?
Extremely, extremely healthy. Here's another example. The Central American Indians, their diet is extremely high in carbs. They subsist largely on maize, which is like natural corn, and beans.
I could live on mashed potatoes.
With a lot of butter and salt.
Yeah.
So here's another one. The Maasai tribesmen in Africa, they have a very high protein diet. They eat chiefly cattle blood, meat, and milk. Again, all extreme examples, but all very healthy cultures.
Cattle blood?
Cattle blood. And of all of these cultures, there's one that's an exception, which is very relatively new in evolutionary terms, and that's the Western diet, where people are not healthy.
You think it's our lifestyle?
I think that's part of it, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll talk about that. Actually, there was analysis. This was in, in the book they referred to, The Pursuit of Optimal Diets, a Progress Report, which was published in Nutritional Genomics, Discovering the Path to Personalized Nutrition. And what they did was they did this analysis of the typical American population, and the population just departed even modestly from the Western diet and lifestyle. And they were able to reduce their chances of getting coronary heart disease by 80%, type 2 diabetes by 90%, and colon cancer by 70%. That's pretty interesting. You don't have to stray too far. And that's the third fact. That there's actually a third one that's kind of hidden under there, is that people who get off the Western diet see dramatic improvements in their health.
And you know what? Even the McDonald's, there's a McDonald's in Italy I saw on TV, and they have a salad bar. They have a lot of stuff on their menu that we don't even have in this country.
We don't even get. Right, because that's what they demand. But yet our research is just bent on finding the one nutrient, the magic bullet. And again, it's not to say whether these nutrients are good or bad, because most of them are very good. But again, it's taking one nutrient and saying, well, this is the key, this is the magic bullet. Right. And it's all outside in thinking. And a lot of it is based on money.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Absolutely. Just eat the food that's grown in the ground. Eat the food the way that it was intended to be eaten. And that's part of our problem. And bottom line is, the more processed something is, the more profitable it is. It's the same issue as pharmaceuticals. You know, the healthcare industry makes more money treating chronic diseases than preventing them. So what happens is we ignore the elephant in the room, which is the nation's expanding waistlines or the fat people, right? Instead, we focus on ingredients to avoid or ingredients to search for. Okay, so here's the question. What should we eat? It's simple. I'm going to give you just 7 words after the break.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Back from break, and I know I left you all hanging with the question, what should we eat?
I'm hungry now.
I know. It's simple, just 7 words. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
What happens if you don't like plants?
We'll get to that. I have a lot of great tips for you, Mike.
Okay,
so
good.
Some might ask, are Twinkies food?
No.
No, that definitely not.
And by food, we mean real food in moderation. And if you follow the personal policies, you'll start to get off the Western diet. And interestingly, there is no biochemistry degree required.
All right, let's hear them.
Well, and if you think about it, for a millennia, you know, we humans, we ate well and we kept ourselves healthy before there was nutritional science telling us how to do it.
Right, because we ate simple.
Right. And so part of it,
garden,
we're
going
to get back to our ancestral culture and see what they knew. Here's an example. There's 17,000 new food products a year in the supermarket. Now, do you think those are 17,000 new actual foods?
No.
I think 10,000 of them are new beers, though.
Probably. Most of them just don't even deserve to be called food.
You're right.
You know, so the first part of those 7 words was, what should I eat? And it's eat food. Here's an example. Tomatoes. Our ancestors primarily only ate tomatoes with olive oil. But what happened is we learned how to mass market tomatoes, and then we started putting them in foods, and more people would eat them in lots of different foods in lots of different ways. And a lot of people have tomato sensitivities and don't even know it. So scientists recently confirmed that this traditional practice of tomatoes and olive oil is good for you because the lycopene, which is a nutrient in the tomatoes, is soluble in oil. So it makes it easier for the body to absorb. So there's, again, the culture versus the science, and it took time for the science to catch up with the culture.
So once again, we're seeing the Italians are smart and we're not.
Jessica must be Italian.
It's not that we're not smart. We just have to take the long, complicated round to get there, right? You know, there's just pieces of our food culture. Sometimes they're ancient, but they deserve our attention because they can help us. So back to these 17,000 new products. Really what they are highly processed concoctions, and they're designed by food scientists. So they mainly have corn and soy and a lot of chemical additives. And if you think about it, these aren't additives or foods that people... ingredients that people would keep in their pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the names, they look like something you could make a bomb out of, you know?
That's true.
It's ridiculous.
And yet we're putting them into our bodies on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Here, an example is, you know, we won't name the name brand, but, you know, macaroni and cheese. If you walk down the aisle, they have like 4 different kinds with different superheroes on them. You know, does that scream quality or does that scream money?
Money.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's happened in our culture. So whole foods equals real foods. So you think about a whole food. An example, Mike, would be a carrot is a whole food. A processed food would be carrot cake.
Yeah.
Even if you made it
from
real
carrots. Which tastes better, though?
Well, have you ever tried a carrot from a local farm, like fresh out of the ground?
I actually love carrots.
Yeah, so. It tastes totally different than a supermarket carrot. Yeah.
Or if you stick a carrot in a Vitamix with some fresh ginger and some water, some nice carrot ginger juice.
Another way to know that it's a whole food is it doesn't come in packaging. You know, think about all the produce and fruit running around. Or even, you know, you get meat from a deli. There's no packaging really involved.
Right.
That was pre-made. A whole food has enzymes, which basically mean has a nutrient component that tells your body what to do with it. It helps break it down. If we have enzymes in our food, they break down easier. We digest them easier. Our body doesn't store them as fat as quickly. They're more nutritious, and they actually give life to our body. Another way to know it's a whole food is it rots. If it can't rot,
it doesn't last long. Yeah.
Right. Then it's a whole food. So it's alive and it's putting life into our body.
Will you tell Mike what we have in the office, speaking of food that doesn't rot?
Well, you've probably seen the movie Super Size Me.
Yes.
Do you remember they took a hamburger and stored it for like 6-7 months and it didn't change for McDonald's?
I saw that, Jessica.
So
on the counter.
Yes, we're repeating the experiment.
And that was frightening.
We've had our hamburger since, I think it's September 25th. Not one speck of mold at all. It looks more dried out, but it looks the same as when we bought it.
And it doesn't really smell bad either.
No, I almost took a bite out of it when I...
Kathleen was telling me she heard they even spray preservatives on the packaging. I mean, it's so sprayed with chemicals, it's just no longer alive anymore.
Wow.
So let's talk about some great tips. The first one, going back to our great-grandparents, is don't eat anything your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize as food. So, Mike, I bet your great-grandmother would not recognize Cheez-Its.
Probably not. That's why she lived to be 104.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she'd probably recognize, say, chicken soup.
Yep.
Yeah. The second tip, avoid food products with ingredients you wouldn't have in your pantry. Do any of you have ethoxylated diglycerides?
No.
Cellulose?
Nope.
Xanthan gum? I'm sure you have calcium propionate. Okay, maybe ammonium sulfate?
Mm.
So if you wouldn't cook with it, why consume it? Do you know why they use most of the preservatives? It extends the shelf life.
Right.
So we can ship it all the way from some foreign country and put it on the shelf in our supermarket, and it can last there for 3 weeks because of the chemicals.
Money.
And the third one is avoid high fructose corn syrup and hydrogenated oils.
Which is in everything.
It is. And without going into all the details, basically, if the food has these ingredients, it's highly processed and less healthy. And there's been a lot of links with these ingredients to obesity, high cholesterol, and heart disease. And just taking high fructose corn syrup and any type of hydrogenated oil or partially hydrogenated oil out of your diet will greatly help your health.
It's funny. The other day, I saw an ad on TV. They were promoting
margarine?
High fructose corn syrup as not a bad thing for you.
Those are still on the air?
Yeah, I saw one the other day.
There was such a backlash from those commercials. So many people were upset because they're so misleading.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've given whole workshops on that. It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for some more great tips?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Avoid foods that have any form of sugar or sweetener listed among the top three ingredients. Except, of course, in moderation. You know, eating a treat is a treat, but let the treats be the treat. For, you know, daily eating, avoid sugar at the top of the list. You know, there's 40 different types of sugar or names for sugar. I'll name a couple. Let's see if you guys know more. Barley malt, beet sugar, brown rice syrup, cane juice, dextrin, dextrose. Do you know more?
Maltodextrin.
Mm-hmm. Sucrose.
Honey.
Glucose.
Honey is good.
Fructose. Notice that they end in O-S-E.
Yeah. Sucrose.
Fructooligosaccharides.
We could start making stuff up.
Yeah, they would not know.
Fruit juice concentrate, invert sugar, and then artificial sweeteners. You know, aspartame, Splenda, sucralose. And by the way, there's been so much research to show you don't lose weight by eating artificial sweeteners. You just don't.
Yeah. You're probably better off with real sugar.
I agree. If I'm going to cook, say I'm going to bake something, I'll either use agave syrup or honey, or if I really need more of a powder, I will just use...
I love that agave syrup stuff.
There's something called Rapadura that's pure sugar, but it's the most pure form of it.
Yeah, so it'll break down in your system a little bit better.
Yeah, it's more expensive, but it's worth it. You're not going to go through a box too fast. Next tip, avoid food products that contain more than 5 ingredients. Your wife, Elizabeth, is really into that, even with recipes. You know,
she won't make anything if it has over, like, 6 ingredients
or
7.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And, of course, recipes can be different because there might be a lot of herbs. But if you're looking at an ingredient list, really try to keep the ingredients down because the more ingredients, the more processed it is. The next tip, avoid food products that make health claims. This is interesting. The whole thought behind this is it's only the big food manufacturers that have the wherewithal to secure FDA-approved health claims for their products. So generally, if the products of modern food science are making a claim, it's probably the boldest health claim.
Right.
And they're likely bad science. Here's an example. Margarine. You know, when it first came out, it was actually one of the first industrial foods, and it was claimed that it was more healthful than the traditional food it replaced, butter. But it turned out to contain trans fat that gives people heart attacks.
And trans fat was actually invented to make soap with. It wasn't even to be a food product.
Wow.
I love this quote Michael Pollan says in his book, "Don't take the silence of the yams with their nakedness and lack of packaging as a sign they have nothing valuable to say about your health." Isn't that great? And lastly, I wanted to let the listeners know that what I did was on our podcast site, you will find Dr. Jennifer's nutrition lists, where I list the top 10 ingredients to avoid, the top 8 healthy foods, the 12 most important foods to buy organic, and the 12 least important foods to buy organic. What we'll do in the next podcast is we're going to detail what kind of foods should we eat and how should we eat them. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.